Middle there to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 4. Amen. Once again, wonderful to have our guests with us, and we're so glad you could be here today. Praise God. Brother Morty, I'm just going to throw a spanner in the works. You throw up the words of that song, This is Amazing Grace, that we just sang this morning, that new song. It's amazing that we sang this song, and I didn't know we were singing this song, but go to the second verse. Next one. Who brings our chaos? Everybody say chaos. If there's one word you could use to describe the world that we live in now, that is the word chaos. I was walking through the Woden Plaza just Thursday, I think it was, or Friday. There is a big sign in one of the courts that says, "All we see is joy." You'll see it for yourself. Big letters. "All we see is joy." And I stopped and I thought, really? Because now, more than any time, the world doesn't seem like such a joyous place. I mean, how could one make such a definite statement that all we see is joy? And so as I was walking, I walked around the corner. I saw that sign. I took a terrible photo of it. I asked Brother Joel later on to take another photo for me. And I walked back around the corner, and God said, He gave me a message, and I'll preach it on the 20th of December. If we want joy, we've got to bring back the King. God gave me the last part of this series. I'm going to preach it. Bring back the King. Because when He is King, there can be joy. The Bible says, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphans a son and a daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Bring back the King. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. I pray you've got it there in your Bibles. We won't stay standing for much longer. The Word of God says, where the word of a king is, there is power. We're doing this series called Pursuing the King. On the first week, we talked about proximity, the power of proximity and being close to Jesus. Last week, we talked about worship, about worshiping the King. And then we come to this very interesting scripture. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Or who can say to the king, what are you doing? You see, where the word of a king is, there is power. Next scripture, Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. Everybody say order. Order. We just talked about chaos. Now we're talking about order. David says, he says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If you've got a different version, maybe a New Living Translation, it says, order my steps in thy word, so that sin cannot have dominion over me. If we will order our steps in the Word of God. So today I want to preach part 3, Pursuing the King. I want to preach, hearken to the Word of the King. Hearken to the Word of the King. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is alive and more powerful than a two-edged sword. Lord God, that it can do a work in our lives. Lord Jesus, help us to hear, not just with our physical ears, but with our supernatural ears, oh God, to hear what you would say to us. Anoint us to hear it and anoint us to do it in Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. I was excited as I was reading my Bible to come across this wonderful scripture, which I'm sure I've read somewhere along the line, but this tremendous scripture in Ecclesiastes, which says, where the word of a king is, there is power. You see, There is something powerful when we allow our life to be ordered by the Word of God. There is something powerful when we allow our life to be ordered, or when maybe somebody here today, when we allow our life to be reordered by the Word of God. And my prayer today and in preparation was that God would search our hearts today, that God would shine His torchlight of heaven into our lives and search our hearts so that we can order and we can reorder our lives according to the Word of God. And you see, there is no question that there is power in the Word of God. And if we would allow our lives to be ordered by His Word, we can live a victorious Christian life. David, in Psalm 119, gives us a long discourse about the Word of God. And I encourage you, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, but Psalm 119 is powerful. It reveals so many gems about the Word of God. But David says, if we just skip back to Psalm 119, one slide, David says, God, if I would order my steps by your word, if I would order my life by your word, then sin would not have dominion over me. Sin would not be reigning in my life, dominion. Sin would not have control over me if I would order my steps in God's word. That doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes, but if we would seek to order our life after God's word, sin will not be allowed to have dominion over us. Praise God. There is power when we order our life around God's word. You see, when you sow God's word into your heart, when you apply God's word to your life, the Bible says that His word will not return void. It will do something. It will achieve something. It will produce fruit. And so I submit to you today that there is a supernatural power available to you if you would allow your life to be ordered by the words of the King. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. This is not just, it's not the book of the day. It's not the book of the month. It's not the book of the year. This is the book of the ages. This is the infallible word of God. This is the word of God which is forever settled in heaven. And where the word of a king is, there is power. Many these days would seek to contest or discredit the word of God. They would come and say, it's just a book of fables. It's just an ancient book of stories. But if you care to study and look a little bit further, we find, number one, that much of what is prophesied here in these scriptures is now coming to pass in our world today. For instance, it was only in relatively recent history that scientists begin to understand the importance of blood. I was reading this article about how back in the old days, a long time ago, that when people were sick, they used to just drain their blood out, try to make them better. But only recently did science fully comprehend that the importance of blood. But in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, written 3,000 years ago, the Word of God, if scientists would have just looked in the Word of God, they would have seen it for themselves. For Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." God's Word already knew. God already put it there, that the importance of blood. Also, when it comes to atoms, only in recent sort of history as science has discovered that everything is composed by invisible atoms. But the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 13 that the things which are seen were made of things which aren't seen. You see, God already knew. It took science a long time to come and say, you know what? We've found out that there are these invisible things that you can't see, which make up everything. But God's word, Hebrews 11:3 says, the things which are seen are made up of things which are not seen. When it comes to the circumcision of young boys, the Bible says that the baby must be circumcised on the eighth day. And so medical science has only recently discovered that the blood clotting in a newborn baby reaches its peak on the eighth day. That's why God said the child would be circumcised on the eighth day. At a time when it was believed that the earth was flat, God's word told us that it is Prophet Isaiah who tells us that the earth is round. It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth. Secular man discovered this 2,400 years later. At a time when science believed that the earth was flat, Christopher Columbus looked into the scriptures. He saw that the earth is a circle, and it inspired him to sail around the world. God's word knew before mankind knew anything. He knew that the world was a circle. At a time back in 1500 BC, many people thought that the earth sat on a large animal or it sat on a large giant. But the Bible spoke well before that of the earth floating in free space. Job chapter 26 verse 7, he says, he hangs the earth upon nothing. It's just sitting there. Science has discovered that stars emit radio waves, and they can receive these radio waves here on earth as a very, very high pitch. But God already knew that. He already mentioned it in his word in Job chapter 38 verse 7 when he wrote, when the morning stars sing together, the stars emit a sound. And only recently science has discovered that. But God's word spelt it out. He said, when the stars sing together. Solomon described the cycle of the air currents 2,000 years before scientists discovered them. He says in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 6, the wind goes towards the south and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns according to its circuits. God's word is true. Before mankind was able to discover these things, God's word was already there, already telling us that we don't live in a flat earth. It's a circle. Telling us that the earth doesn't sit on an animal or a beast, but the earth sits, it's suspended on nothing. You see, there is power in God's word. I've come to commend you today that if you would order your life by the word of God, you can have power in your life. Some of us, maybe you're here today and you've never fully committed to Jesus Christ. I encourage you, start ordering your life by the word of God. Start living your life according to the word of God. And some of us in the chaos of this world, our life has been turned upside down. Things are all out of kilter and out of whack. I tell you, it's time to come back and reorder our life around the word of God. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. And God said, no fewer than 9 times in the first chapter of the Bible, we read these 3 words, and God said. There should be no doubt in your mind today that it matters what God says. And God said, while being the best-selling and the most popular book of all time, this Bible is the best-selling, it's the most popular book. And while it finds its place on many people's bookshelves and in most households, they all have a Bible. But its timeless truths and the power of the word remains trapped in these pages because nobody wants to order their life according to God's word. Most people, you walk around this suburb, you ask them, have you got a Bible in your house? They say, yes, we've got a Bible. They will go to the back room in the back of a bookshelf somewhere, most likely pull it out and say, this is our family Bible.
The truth is, once upon a time, their grandparents lived their life according to this word. But through the chaos of the ages, things have got out of order, and this powerful book has been relegated to some bookshelf in a shed, some bookshelf in a garage, some book, some box just collecting dust. But its promises and the power remains trapped because we've got to apply it to our lives. And David said, oh God, I want to order my steps according to your word. There is power in the word of God. The Bible is more than philosophy. It's more than human guesswork. I come today to commend to you the holy scriptures of God. This Bible is more than just an opinion. Our faith doesn't rest in the musings of a mortal man. Our faith stands on the unchanging, infallible word of God. And where the word of God is, where the word of a king is, there is power. Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, spoke, and Joseph was elevated. King Saul spoke, and Ahimelech was slain. King David spoke, and Uriah was killed. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and three Hebrews went into the fire. Belshazzar spoke, and Daniel went to the lions. But our king spoke, and there was creation. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let there be animals. And God said, let there be trees. And God said, there is power in the word of God. How God spoke and there was an incarnation. How God spoke and there was salvation. Today, I want to encourage you, we've got to hearken to the voice of the King. In all of your pursuits, pursue being close to Jesus, worship Jesus, and pursue to listen and to hear and to apply the words of the King to your life. Because if we can get the word of the King in our heart, there is power. David said, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Unless you're living under a rock, we know that we live in a time of chaos. Nobody wanted to believe what happened in California was a terrorist attack. We're all hoping it wasn't. But just in the last couple of days, it's since unfolded that more than likely, given the evidence, it seems like it was. The world is in chaos. When will it come to Australia? Who knows? But more than likely, it will. There is a lot of chaos in the world. But I come to tell you, God's not nervous. God's not in trouble. He's not losing any sleep over this. He is still all-powerful. God is still looking for people who will surrender their lives to Him and give their life to serve. He's looking for churches who He can use. God is not in trouble. But I want to tell you, if we are going to have God's power, we've got to do it God's way. If we're going to have the power of God in our life, we've got to do it according to God's way. We've got to have God's order. Everybody say order. As Christians, first thing, as the New Testament church, God set up an order. It was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit was poured out. First things first. Jesus said, I've given you a great commission, but you're not going to be able to achieve it. You're not going to be able to reach this world without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the New Testament church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. And that birth was accompanied by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Come to this altar at the end of the service. We will pray for you, and I believe God can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Does God want to give you the Holy Spirit? Yes. Luke chapter 11 verse 13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? God wants to fill us with the Spirit. It's one of the most powerful experiences you'll ever have in your life. It is a power that you cannot continue living without. If you want to be able to overcome temptation, if you want to be able to overcome the things that are going to come against you, let me tell you, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. And you need it now more than you ever have needed it before. Supernatural order. Ask yourself, is my life in supernatural divine order? Am I pursuing supernatural divine order in my life? Am I allowing God's word to order my steps? Am I pursuing the King? And am I hearkening and listening to the voice of the King? You see, God is a God, we're up to slide number 6. God is a God of order. God created the heavens and the earth. When He created all of those heavens and the earth, He created an order. It was carefully ordered to sustain life. God created everything perfectly so that life could be here on earth. Scientists will tell you if we were just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd die from, we'd burn up. If we were a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze. You see, God is a God of order, and He created everything in order to sustain life. When God created human beings, He created order in man. There are 12 systems in our body, and I can name a few of them. I'm not going to name all of them, but we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And all of those systems in our body, the respiratory system and the circulatory system and all of those things, all of those systems in our body, when they are in order, there is health. But when they're out of order, we go and see a doctor. And we say, doctor, I want you to bring my systems and my life back into order. And the doctor says, well, if we can just fix up this system and get things back into order, you're going to be healthy again. Some of us today are sitting here and we need God. We need to go to Dr. Jesus and say, Dr. Jesus, I need to order my life according to your word. And He says, my child, if you would just be willing to order your steps according to my word, there is power and you can live with a supernatural power in your life. Because there is power where the word of the King is. God is a God of order. God's will thrives in order. Satan's will thrives in chaos. We see it right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis when they were in the Garden of Eden. There was perfect order. Everything was in perfect order. And Satan comes along and says, I don't like all this order. Everything was in order. God's will was being achieved because there was order. And so Satan comes along, and what does he come to do? He comes to bring chaos. And how does he bring chaos to the world? He brings it through a question. Everybody say a question. Satan brings chaos to the world through a question on the Word of God. You see, the Word of God brings order. But if we begin to question the Word of God, it will bring about disorder and will bring about chaos. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read here the very first question in the Bible. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said? Everybody say question. You see, Satan knew that for his will to thrive on this earth, he had to bring about chaos. He knew that in order for there to be chaos, people had to get their lives disordered from the word of God and from obedience to God. And so he comes with a question. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The first question is a question about God's word. And when they disobeyed God's word, they became out of order and chaos came into the world. We read that Eve takes the bait, Adam doesn't stop her, and now the door to chaos opens. is opened on this earth because they became out of order. I believe it's very important that we study God's word. I encourage everybody here to bring their Bible to church and to read the scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I encourage you to do your own Bible studies. I encourage people to come and to ask questions of the pastor or ask a study that we can do on something specific that you don't understand. We need to open the scriptures. We need to reason together. We must not be ignorant. But I also want to warn you today that we must not allow a spirit of questioning to get a hold of us. Why it usually happens, and you've probably seen it yourself, is that it normally happens where we begin to question the Word of God and we want to get some revelation, and then it crosses a line. And you've probably seen people there. They cross a line and they begin to question everything about God's Word, not just to gain insight, but usually they're questioning it to justify their lifestyle, to justify the way they want to live. And before you know it, a spirit of questioning gets upon them and they can't believe anything in the Word of God. So Satan came and he brought a question and he wanted them to question God's Word. And through the questioning and through the disobedience to God's Word, chaos came to the world. The first question was, hath God said? That's not the question people ask anymore. Because this Bible has long been thrown out of schools, out of our government. It's been thrown out everywhere. The question now, Satan says, is there a God? Does God care? Can you trust God? You see, Satan is bringing questions to people today under one intention. He's bringing questions because he wants you to get your life out of order. And as David said, if my life is in order, sin cannot have dominion over me. But if my life is in order, I can have power over sin. And so we've got to order our steps in the Word of God. If our steps are disordered, then sin can have dominion over us. God is a God of order. We read it back in Genesis when they brought the sacrifices, Cain and Abel. God is a God of order when it comes to worship. Everybody say worship. God is a God of order. In fact, God is so much a God of order. He says, if you've got ought against anybody, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, God says, I don't even want you to worship me. He says, leave your gift at the altar and go and make restitution with those that you can't forgive. God is a God of order. In fact, God is such a God of order that you had Cain and Abel. Abel, he brought, as God requested, an animal sacrifice where blood had to be shed. It was just what God wanted. Abel brought it. But Cain, he was a farmer. He said, well, you know what? I think God would accept this. It seems reasonable and logical to me that God would accept this sacrifice. And so he brought the fruit of the ground as an offering to God. And God rejected it. Because it was not what he asked for. You see, God is a God of order. When it comes to worship, we are called to worship God in order. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. God has an order for worship and he has an order for sacrifice. And so we cannot just rely on what seems right to us. We can't rely on what makes sense to us. We've got to rely on what has never changed, and that is the Word of God. We've got to do things the way God wants us to do them. The beginning of the year, we did a series on the tabernacle plan. If you want to look at something that tells you more than anything that God is a God of order, you will see that God had a specific plan for us to approach God. And I believe as Moses implemented God's plan, if Moses was disobedient to one aspect of it, they would have got to that holy place and there would have been no presence of God. Because God is a God of order. They had to go past the brazen altar. They had to go to the laver of water and wash before they could go to the Ark of the Covenant. The brazen altar speaks of repentance, where we die to our old life, where we sacrifice our old life. The laver of water speaks of baptism, where we wash away the sins of the past. And the Ark of the Covenant speaks of the Spirit of God. The blood, remember these three words, blood, water, spirit. God is a God of order. When he brought a flood to the earth, he gave Noah a very specific plan. He said, Noah, you've got to do things this way. You've got to do it in this order. The wood's going to be this long. You're going to line the inside of the ark with this. This is exactly what you've got to do, Noah. And if Noah took some liberty, what made common sense to him, let me tell you, that boat would not have floated. And the family would not have been saved. You see, God is a God of order. Everybody say order. God did not give Noah some general idea. Noah didn't get a sketch. Something like this. Noah, just something like that. No. God was very specific with Noah. He gave him details, plans. We also read as we continue through the Bible about the Exodus when they came out of Egypt, and Egypt speaks of sin. And we see that God gave them an order. They had to apply the blood to their life, which speaks of repentance. Everybody say blood. They had to go through the water, which speaks of baptism, through the Red Sea. And they had to follow the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which speaks of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God is a God of order. Then we read, after reading about the Exodus, the blood, the water, and the Spirit, after reading about the tabernacle plan, the blood, the water, and the Spirit, we read in Matthew that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. God gave him an order. Everybody say keys. You got to have the right keys to open up the right lock. He gave him the keys to the kingdom. He says, Peter, here is the order. And Peter stood on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The gospel is preached. They realize that they are sinners. In verse 37, they ask, men and brethren, what must we do? What does God want us to do? Peter says, well, I've got the keys to the kingdom. And he stands and he preaches. He says, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, our God is a God of order. And if you want to be saved, just like Noah, if you want to be saved, just like them coming out of Egypt, if you want to be saved, just like they asked on the day of Pentecost, what must we do? You've got to do it God's way. You got to do it in God's order. The blood, the water, the Spirit, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You've got to do it God's way. Order. You've got to do it God's way. Yes, believing is part of it, but it's not the end. Mark chapter 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repentance is important as well. It's required. Yet Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The infilling of the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, it says, but you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. If we want to be saved, we've got to do it God's way. When it comes to our Christian life, when it comes to our Christian walk, our God is still a God of order. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, scripture that we know well. You can turn there if you like, up to slide number 10. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everybody say order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want to break that down just a little bit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek. Everybody say seek. Seek. To seek is a deliberate action. You got to be proactive. You got to have made up your mind you're going to seek. If you're going to look for your keys at home, you don't look for them by just sitting on the couch. You got to take some deliberate action. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to rearrange some things. You're going to have to stop doing some other things. And you're going to have to start seeking. Seek speaks of a deliberate action. And then it uses the word first, which speaks of order. I don't know how to say this any more theologically than this. First means first, doesn't mean second. I'm sorry if that blew your mind. I'll say it again. First means first, it doesn't mean second. So if we've got to seek, it's got to be deliberate, and we've got to seek it first. It's got to be top of the pile. And then it speaks of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. This is our ultimate purpose, to seek first the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? That is the place where the king has dominion. Kingdom. It is the king's domain. And who is the king? Jesus is our king. We are seeking first, not second, but proactively seeking first the domain of the king, to live under the rule of King Jesus. To live under the rule, which means to live under his commands, to live under his ways, to live under his word. The kingdom of God, where God is at rule. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, there is power when you seek first the kingdom of God. We have dominion over sin when we order our steps according to his word. This Matthew 6 verse 33 says that we can have the provision of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What do we got to do first to get the right order in our life according to God's word? And the truth of the matter is, we are all kingdom minded. Everybody here is kingdom minded. It's just a question of whose kingdom. We're all kingdom-minded. Just like last week, I talked about worship. We're all going to worship something. We're all kingdom-minded. It's just a question of whose kingdom are you about? Some of us might be about our own kingdom, but we've only got to be about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to decide today, am I going to get my life in order with the word of God? Or am I going to reorder my life in God's word and seek first the kingdom of God? Slide 11, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We'll probably read it many times before Christmas comes around. But it says, Isaiah is speaking here of a Savior, a Prince of Peace, coming to a kingdom, to rule over a kingdom. He says, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called. Let's read it together. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah is speaking here of a Savior, but not just a Savior, he's speaking of a King. You see, in this day and age, there are lots of people that want a Savior. They want somebody to save them from their sin and just hope they get to heaven. They want somebody to help them get to heaven instead of going to hell. They want a Savior. But Jesus doesn't want to just be your Savior. He wants to be your King. He wants to be your Lord. And so this kingdom that he came to establish would be made up of people who were wholly submitted to his authority, the King. Isaiah adds, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Goes on to say, and upon his kingdom, to order it. Everybody say, order it. And to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, forever and ever. From now to the end of time, Jesus is going to rule over his kingdom with divine order. And so if Jesus is the King, then we are his subjects. Our lives must be governed. Our lives must be ordered. To be governed means our lives must be guided. Our lives must be directed. Our lives must be controlled at all times by his authority. And where the word of a king is, there is power. There is power where the word of a king is. If you want a testimony this morning of a man who was governed by God's written word, you can read Psalm 119 where David writes, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, if I can hide God's word in my heart and if I can order my life according to God's word that I might not sin against thee, God. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," verse 105, "and a light unto my path." In verse 128, he says, "I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." David says, "God, I want to order my steps and my life according to your word." So what about David? He made mistakes. We all know about the problems that David experienced in his life. But even though David faced awful times of failure and awful times of confusion, he continually allowed himself to be governed and to be ordered by God's word. And the Lord always brought David back into divine order. "Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Lord, reorder my heart and reorder my life. Renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away. God, I've sinned. I've failed. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. But God, I just keep coming back to your word because your word is powerful. I got to order my life according to your word." So it sounds nice to be able to be close to Jesus. Part one. Sounds good to be able to worship Jesus, but today the call is to hearken to the word of the Lord. Fewer and fewer Christians are allowing their lives to be governed by God's word. And it's a sign of the times. People are looking for preachers to tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear and make them feel nice and stroke them in church so they can go out in the week and, you know, not feel challenged. Cherry-picking the gospel, just the bits that they like. Yes, God wants us to prosper. That's important, but that's not the only gospel. People are easily bored. They want entertainment. They want a 10-minute sermon instead. And you see, when we go away from building our life on the word, our life becomes ordered. And the man who built his life on the sand, the house came down. But the man who built his life on the rock, it stood strong in the storm. And I've come to tell this church today and these beautiful people today, there is a storm coming to this earth. Jesus is coming back. There is going to be a time where it's not going to be easy to be a Christian anymore. And only those who have had their feet firmly planted on the word of God are going to be able to stand in these last days. We've got to order our life on God's word. Healing's easy. Yeah, we love healing. Miracles are easy. Blessings are easy. But what about hearkening to the voice of the King? Paul warns in the last days that God would send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. This is spoken to a church, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, Paul here is warning in the last days that people are going to lose their love for the word. And this will be, he says, this will be the gate that opens up for the rule of the Antichrist. You see, it was a question in the beginning that brought about chaos. And it is going to be a question on the word of God that is going to usher in the Antichrist. When Christians believe a strong delusion, a question, that they should believe a lie, a question. And you see, it was a lie. It was a question that brought about chaos in the beginning. And it is going to be Christians who don't value the word of God and who don't order the word their life according to the word of God that is going to usher in the Antichrist. And you may wonder, how could a Christian believe that the Antichrist is the Messiah? How could Christians come to that point where they believe that the Antichrist is actually the Messiah? How could it happen? And he says in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7, it says 2 verse 10, he says, these believers who believe that the Antichrist is the Messiah, they received not a love for the truth. They didn't love the truth. They didn't love the word. They thought it was optional. They thought that they could just keep it on the back shelf and by some way, just by having it in their house, that it was going to save them. Ignoring God's word, neglecting to come under its authority, giving themselves up to all kinds of deception. Many believe, actually, that it will be the deluded Christians that will bring the Antichrist into power. People who lost a love for the truth. Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Next slide, slide 13. Order my steps in thy word. God, I want to order my steps according to your word. God, if there's something in your word, Lord, as you reveal it to me, Lord, as you show me, God, help me to be obedient and help me to order my steps according to your word. If you're struggling with temptation, if you're struggling with sin having dominion over you, let me tell you, you need to hearken to the voice of the King and say, God, what are you saying to me today? I want to listen to you. I want to hearken to your word and I want to order my life according to your word. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. Let's all stand. God is calling us today to a higher level. I want to tell you today that God wants to bless you. God wants to enlarge your borders. God wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. I want to tell you, God wants to take you to a higher level. Wherever you're at right now, you might think you've reached the pinnacle. You've been saved. You're worshiping God. You're feeling the blessing of God in your life. I want to tell you, God has more for you. In the modern day words, there's more where that came from. God's got more for us. God is calling us to be obedient. If you're here today and you're married, I tell you, God has more for your marriage if you would just order your steps in His word. And as God speaks to you about things, you've got to be obedient because disobedience brings a blockage. When God says, you've got to do this, well, the essence of sin is disobedience to God's word. When God's word says to do something and God shows you that and you see it and you disobey it and you don't do it, it is sin. And sin brings separation between us and God. And so God has more for your marriage. God, I want my marriage to be ordered by your words. God has more for this church. We got to hold fast of this word. Doesn't matter. I don't know about many other churches in Canberra. I don't hear much at all. But I tell you, we got to hold fast to this word. Going to be a lot of people come around sprouting their opinions and saying this and that. But hey, let's just get back to the word. If we would order our steps according to God's word, God has more for us. If we would just make Him king. God, you are my king. God, I want to live and I want to seek your kingdom. I want to be under the authority of your word. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5 as I close. I don't know if it's on the screen, but if you got your Bible, grab your Bible. Look up Luke chapter 5. Not going to read the whole thing. Verse 2 says, and they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, and Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people. Now, when he had finished speaking, he said unto Simon,
He said, launch out into the deep. This is God speaking. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let them down once more. The Bible just told us, the Word just told us, they'd been fishing all day, all night. They caught nothing. They were cleaning their nets. How annoying is that? Like being a painter, you know, you're cleaning your brushes and somebody comes and tells you that you missed a spot. After a hard day's fishing, washing their nets, pulling the rubbish out of the nets, Jesus says, go out and throw the net in again. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy word. God, we want to be obedient to your word. We want to order our life. I know it may be inconvenient right now. We're cleaning the nets. We're finished. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And they let it down. And what does it say? And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Where the word of a king is, there is power. What is God speaking to you about today? God is calling somebody here today to order their steps according to his word. God is calling probably even more people here today that it's time to look back over the way you're making your priorities and the order that you've got your life in and say, God, I've made a mess of this. In the chaos of this world and in following my own thinking and my own logic, I've made a mess right here. God, this doesn't look like your order. And God is calling us to reorder our steps in his word. And if we will obey the word, is it just a step of faith? No. It wasn't even a step of faith for those people that were fishing. It says, nevertheless, at thy word. They weren't stepping out on nothing. They were stepping out on the word of God. It wasn't blind faith. It was faith in the word of God. They said, if you say it, God, then I'm going to do it. We've got to reorder our steps according to God's word. Let's